Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice verse 1. Now concerning spiritual or things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Notice verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. There again, you can substitute the word through. Because these gifts are literally endowments or manifestations. They are not gifts that become your property or your possession that you can do with as you will. And we'll see this borne out a little bit further. Notice verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings, plural in the original manuscript, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to or through every man severally, notice this expression, as he will. As he will. These things occur as the Holy Spirit wills, not as we will. I mentioned some instances last week when I gave words of prophecy. I wish I could do that whenever I wanted to, but I can't. I wish I could turn it on and turn it off like a light switch, but I can't. Now, I could very easily try to manufacture something, but it does not have the same impact, and just plain and simple, it doesn't work very well. Are you with me? So we talked about vocal gifts last week, and then I want to relay this foundation, if you will, so that you have a better understanding of spiritual gifts or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. There are three gifts or manifestations that say something. We refer to those as vocal gifts, and that is prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. There are three gifts or manifestations that reveal something. We can call them revelation gifts. And those are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And we're going to take our time and explain all of these so you understand them. Give you biblical examples, okay? And there are three gifts or manifestations that do something. And those are gifts of healings, working of miracles, and special faith. And so last week we talked about vocal gifts. Gifts are manifestations that say something. Turn with me, if you would, again to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And there again, I'm basically giving you highlights because I want you to understand how the Holy Spirit works so that you can cooperate with Him, so that you can receive the benefit of these spiritual gifts. And remember, we looked at verse 1, 1 Corinthians 14, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, it's very interesting that right between 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where he talks about the exercise of spiritual gifts in a local church assembly, right in the middle of that, he sandwiched an exhortation about what love really is. And the thing that I want you to see is that love, agape love, is the catalyst that causes the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself. When your motive is anything other than love, then you're going to have a hard time getting the Holy Spirit to cooperate with you. Are you with me? But when your motivation is agape and love towards others, then the Holy Spirit many times will use that as a foundation to either say something, reveal something, or do something. Are you with me? If this is a little over your head, hang in there. You'll get it. You'll get it. All right? Now, remember we talked about prophecy last week. Prophecy, verse 3. But he that prophesies speaks to men to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. Prophecy in its simple form has nothing to do with the future. There's no revelation associated with it at all. It is an inspired word or utterance in a language that you know that will edify. That means charge or build somebody up. That will exhort them, encourage them, or that will comfort them. And these are words that come by the Holy Spirit. Now, divers kinds of tongues with interpretation is different in that it is an inspired utterance in a language you don't know. But someone else or yourself can interpret that tongue and it will have the same impact. It will edify. It will exhort. It will comfort. Are you with me? So the simple gift of prophecy has nothing to do with the future. All right? Everybody cool?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, watch this. Go down to verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Notice this. Paul said this. How is it then, brethren? Notice this. When you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine or teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Notice how these people came to church. Every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpreter. These people came to church loaded for bear. These people came to church with things on their heart that God had given them to share. And Paul says this, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. In other words, if you have a message in tongues, don't do them all at once. One at a time, two, maybe three. And let one person interpret. You don't need dueling interpretations. Are you with me? And that by course. In other words, you don't have to do them all at the same time. He's just giving them guidance here. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. It's important that we do things in such a way that people are edified. If you have a message in tongues and nobody interprets it, nobody understands what you said, all you did was get goosebumps. That's it. And so interpretation is vital in a public assembly. Now, in your private prayer time, that's fine. Knock yourself out. Pray in tongues all day long if you want to. Are you with me? But in a public assembly, people need to be edified. Notice the next verse. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets speak two or three. Notice this. Underline this phrase. Let the other judge. Let the other judge. Now, we're going to get into the ministry of a prophet here in just a moment. But it is important that we understand that when someone has a revelation, that revelation should be judged. How do you judge it? Number one, is this scriptural? Is this biblical? Number one. Number two, is this something that enhances our relationship with Jesus or does it push you away? Prophecy needs to be judged. Not the person, but what is said. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
We need to be adults about this thing. We need to have clear understanding. I've had people prophesy some goofy stuff, man. Goofy stuff. It wasn't biblical. It was not the Word. It wasn't centered in the truth of the Word. And so, especially in a public setting, I was telling somebody last week, you know, there have been times, and please don't get fearful when you hear me say this. Please don't, all right? But I've been in public meetings in churches where people got up and said some just outrageous, unscriptural, goofy stuff. And I got up behind them and I said, that's not right. Here's what the Bible says. And somebody after the meeting said, man, I can't believe you said that. I said, they had nerve enough to get up and spill that garbage out there. I got nerve enough to correct it.
Amen.
Why? Because people are out there and they will receive and believe this stuff. And everybody doesn't have the same understanding and knowledge of the Scripture. Are you with me? And so sometimes you have some baby Christians out there who are gullible. Everybody say gullible.
Gullible.
How many of y'all ever had little kids at home, and they get to that stage where they're about 9, 10 months old, little before a year old, everything they put their hands on ends up in their mouth. Do you notice that? When my brother was little, I remember my brother would eat anything. He didn't care if it was motionless or if it was moving. If he saw it, he would. And I remember one time Mama changing his diaper, and we found a bug in his diaper that he had eaten. He saw it moving. He thought, "Ooh, wonder what that tastes like." And spiritually speaking, you know, there's some Christian people who are just that way. They're gullible. You know, somebody knock on the door and says, you know, "Hey, we want to talk about the kingdom of God, and why don't you come to the meeting?" And they're like, "Well, Pastor, what? It must be good. They're talking about the kingdom of God. You don't know they're a cult, and they'll send you to hell." And so we have to be adult in our understanding, okay? So notice that it says, "Let the other judge. If anything be revealed," this is key, prophets have revelation. Not just inspired utterance, but revelation. "If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let him first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may," notice this, "learn, and that all may be comforted." So inspired utterance has a purpose, to teach and to comfort. And it says, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." In other words, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never force you to do anything. And so never think that you've got this word, you just got to give it, I just can't give it, you know, I can't hold it. "Pastor, I couldn't keep my mouth shut." You're lying. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You can sit on it, it'll keep, listen to me, it'll keep till next week. It'll keep. See, things of the Spirit never get old. They don't age. It'll keep till next week. And so if God has given you something, an inspired utterance, you're like Elihu, words have welled up on the inside of you, please get my attention. Whoever's leading to me, get their attention. Share that thing. You know, don't worry about it. I tell the people all the time, if you make a mistake, don't worry. I'll clean it up. I'll clean it up and I won't embarrass you. All right? I promise you. But we need that because there are people sitting next to you who are hurting. And the Holy Spirit can say something through your lips that will change their life. And so we need to understand how the Holy Spirit does things. Okay? That was last week's lesson. All right. Now, let's turn over in our Bibles to John chapter 16. We talked about vocal gifts, prophecy, an inspired utterance in a language that you know. Diverse kinds of tongues, an inspired utterance in a language you don't know, but God will give someone the interpretation. I remember once I was sitting in class at Bible college, and the Holy Spirit gave me a word. Now, the Bible school that I went to was very disciplined. You didn't get up and prophesy in front of the class. You don't do that. So I kept it. It'll keep. And shared it later. And so you don't have to do something just because you feel led to do it. But there are times that you should. You need to. Now, let me show you something about the Holy Spirit, because that's who we are really talking about. John chapter 16. And I want to show you this so that you have a proper understanding. John 16, let's look at one verse, verse 13. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now here Jesus is talking about one of the main missions of the Holy Spirit. And the main mission of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into all truth. That word guide is the Greek word hodageo. And it paints a picture of an experienced guide who will take you by the hand and lead you to the place you need to go. And he also said this, he will show you things to come. Here's one thing I want you to understand. It is the nature of the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. It is the nature of the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. So don't think it's strange when the Holy Spirit shows you something or reveals something to you. He's just doing his job. That's his nature. It is the nature of the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. Why? His main mission in life is to take you by the hand, to guide you, lead you, and show you the way. Now, we have to understand how He leads. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture today, but this is good. It'll help you. Romans chapter 8. We have to understand how the Holy Spirit leads. That's His main focus. When He has come, He will guide you into all truth, and He will show you things to come. Romans chapter 8. If you got it, say, I got it. All right, notice verse 11. Romans 8:11. Paul writing to a bunch of believers in Rome. Tell you what, let's back up to verse 9. Romans 8:9. But you were not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, underline this phrase, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be, underline this phrase, in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, underline this phrase, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that, underline this phrase, dwells in you. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we've just seen four passages that tell us that the Spirit of God dwells in us. And so if we're led by the Spirit of God and He dwells in us, then it stands to reason that He will lead us from the inside out. Not from the outside in. He leads from within. That's where He is, in you. And so when you know that, then you know that He will give you guidance. He will show you things to come from the inside, not from the outside. Notice verse 16. For the Spirit itself, or Himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is the primary way that the Holy Spirit leads believers. From the inside out, by an inward witness. What is an inward witness? Here's another way to say it. An inward knowing. You just know on the inside of you. Are you with me? Many times people think that, well, the Lord's going to lead me, and He's going to lead me from something out here. And so I'm going to get my debit card, and I'm going to call Sis Cleo, or I'm going to call the Master Prophet and see if he has a word for me. You're going to get yourself in trouble and waste a lot of money. Are you with me? You're about to waste a lot of money, and you're about to get, and I don't know any other way to say it, you're about to get jacked up. Amen. You're about to get jacked up. Because you're going to get somebody who has diarrhea of the mouth, and they're going to blab some silly stuff over your life, and they don't know you, and the Holy Spirit hadn't told them squat about you, but they'll begin to prophesy in vague generalities about what the Lord wants you to do. You know, there's coming a season of change in your life. Big deal. What else is new? You're about to meet somebody new. Well, come on. The Holy Ghost can do better than that. Are you all with me? I'm going to show you how the Holy Spirit does things. He does not speak in vague generalities. He's very specific. Very specific. And there are times that the Holy Spirit will piggyback, if you will, different gifts and manifestations together. And sometimes through prophecy, He'll hitch with it a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. All right. Turn with me now to I'll share this in a minute. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're talking about revelation gifts, gifts that reveal something. Now, the Holy Spirit lives in us. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, and He's in us. His job is to guide, to lead, to show the way. So understand this. God knows your address. He will put your mail in your mailbox. If the Lord really wants you to do something, He's going to begin to work in you. Work in you and reveal that thing in you. Someone else may say something inspired by the Spirit that will confirm what God has said in you. But other times people will have diarrhea of the mouth. Like that woman in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, prophesied me as a teacher in her Bible school. God ain't said nothing to me about teaching in her Bible school. In fact, He told me to do something else. Amen. Well, I didn't act ugly. I was nice. And I said, praise the Lord. But I went on and obeyed the Lord. I knew what He wanted me to do on the inside. Come to find out, they never had a Bible school. Amen. Had I listened to her, I'd have wasted 2 years of my life. So understand this, the Holy Spirit, His main mission is to guide, to lead, to show the way, and He lives in you. And He will lead you from the inside out.
Hallelujah.
All right?
Hallelujah.
Now, there are two general ways that the Lord leads His people. Number one, He guides us and leads us through the Word. What does the Word say? As you spend time meditating in the Word on a consistent basis, daily, hopefully,
yes.
He speaks to you through the Word. In particular, the New Testament.
Amen.
All right? Letters written to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Then He leads us by the Spirit, the inward witness. There are times He leads us by an inward voice. There are times He leads us and speaks to us audibly. There are times He may reveal something and show something to us. But it all must pass through the filter of God's Word.
Amen.
All right? And that inward witness of the Spirit within. Are you all with me?
Amen.
Now, watch this. 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, the Bible is so full of examples of the Holy Spirit revealing things. I'm only going to share a few of them because we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks teaching about the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom in the Old and the New Testament. But I'm going to give you an example from the Old and an example from the New.
Mm-hmm.
2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to begin with verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with the servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. In other words, he's setting an ambush. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that you pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, they had set at least three ambushes for the king of Israel. And Elisha the prophet warned the king of Israel, watch out, avoid this place, because the Syrians are waiting for you. And so the king of Israel sent out scouts and found out, sure enough, there was an ambush. And this happened at least three times. So the king of Syria calls a staff meeting and gets all his men in the room and says, all right, who's the spy? Who keeps telling our business? Notice verse 12. And one of the servants said, none, my king, O Lord, my king, but Elisha, the prophet that's in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Now, how did Elisha the prophet know what the king of Syria had planned for the king of Israel? The Holy Spirit revealed it to him.
Hallelujah.
Elisha had a word of knowledge.
Yes.
He knew something supernaturally by the Spirit that he was able to share with the king of Israel and save his life.
Amen.
And so he warned him, you better stay away from that place. They're waiting for you down there. Now, the interesting thing is, the king of Syria decided, well, we're going to go get the prophet. And y'all remember the story. We won't get into it. But he sent troops to Dothan, where Elisha was living, and he had his minister of helps, Gehazi, there with him. And Gehazi gets up in the morning, looks out the window, and they're surrounded. Syrian troops everywhere. And he goes and wakes up the prophet and says, "Oh, alas, master, what shall we do? What are we going to do?" I love Elisha. He was cool. He knew things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And he says to Gehazi, he's just cool. He said, "Hey, they're more with us than with them."
Hallelujah.
And Gehazi said, "What in the world are you talking about?" Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." Now, he wasn't talking about his physical eyes, Amen. But the eyes of his spirit.
Yes, yes.
And Gehazi, all of a sudden, had discerning of spirits, saw into the realm of spirits, and the mountains and the hills were filled with angels, just waiting to do business.
Hallelujah.
And Elisha, I like Elisha, he said, "Y'all looking for me?" I don't know what he did, but struck them all blind. Not one of them could see a thing. Then he led them to the king of Israel and said, "Hey, here are these folks that have been trying to kill you, you know." And the king of Israel said, "Well, let's kill them all." He said, "Nah, send them home. I think they learned their lesson for today."
Hallelujah.
And he did. See, but Elisha was cool because he knew what was out there. And he was not intimidated by what he saw. But a word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation of facts that exist in the mind of God. God knows everything.
Yes, he does.
But he'll reveal things that exist either past or present. That's a word of knowledge. And it came by the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And so if we learn to cooperate with him, he will reveal things to us. I remember not long ago, I don't know if it was the last time Pastor Martin was here, but the time before, he shared when he was at camp meeting in Tulsa one time, just enjoying the praise and worship, enjoying the word, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him. Said, "Get up and go out into the main hallway. Get your son." And so he went out into the main hallway, and there was his oldest boy, Reggie, linked up with two 18-year-old girls heading outside the door. And he said, "Reggie, where are you going?" He said, "Get back in there where you belong." Are you with me? How did he know that? The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. And the word of knowledge is a powerful instrument. And many times God will give you a word of knowledge because he's trying to save you from getting hurt. Trying to save you from really doing damage to yourself. I shared the story when I was going through the intersection. I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit sound like he was sitting in the car with me. He said, "Don't go through the light." I had the green light. But I stopped because I heard his voice. And I watched that Lincoln Continental run that light. And he would have hit me broadside.
Amen.
Why did the Holy Spirit reveal that to me? Trying to save my life.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's go to the New Testament. Let me show you an example of this gift or manifestation called the Word of Knowledge. Turn to John chapter 1. Remember, it is the nature of the Holy Spirit to reveal things. His job is to guide you, to lead you, to show you the way. And if you'll learn to listen to Him, to follow Him, man, I'm telling you, He will really, really help you avoid a lot of pitfalls in life. John chapter 1, here's an instance when Jesus is building his team, if you will, calling his disciples. John chapter 1, okay, let's look at verse 43, John 1, 43. Notice what it says, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and finds Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finds Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' And Nathanael said to him," notice Nathanael's response, "'Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?'" He was kind of a smart aleck, you know. He's from where? Nazareth? You got to be kidding me. Can anything good come out of that town? Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said to him, "Where you know me from?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before that Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now, when Jesus said, "Behold an Israelite in whom is no guile." Now, guile refers to the attitude of the heart, and it comes out of your mouth. And it's like saying, "Oh, an Israelite who's not a smart aleck." Are you with me? And he heard what he had said the day before. Nathanael said, "Where did you know me from? Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Notice Nathanael's response. Nathanael answered and said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You shall see greater things than these." Now, the word "greater" there is a word, there's a little play on that word. What Jesus literally said to him, "Man, you're going to see some stronger stuff than this. But you believe because I told you what I heard you say the day before?" And he said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now, you'll find in the life of Jesus and in his ministry, the Holy Spirit revealed things to him quite often. Remember his conversation with the woman at the well in John chapter 3. The disciples had gone to buy provisions and buy food, and he's there with this Samaritan woman. And the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan. There was some real bad stuff going on between these cultures. And Jesus says to this woman, "Why don't you get me something to drink?" And she just plain says to him, "What you talking to me for? You know we don't have any dealings with each other." Jesus said, "If you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask of me, and I would give you something to drink." And she said, "You ain't got nothing to dip with, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this water from?" He said, "The water that I give you will be a well of water springing up into eternal life."
Yes. Yes.
And she's like, "Where are you going to get this water from?" He said, "Go home and call your husband." She said, "I ain't got no husband." Jesus said, "You said that right. You've had five, and the one you're living with now is not yours." Now, how did he know that? By the Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't say that to embarrass her. But he said that because the Holy Ghost revealed it to him. And she said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." Now, at least she had enough sense to know that a prophet has revelation. And she went home and got everybody she could find from her town and said, "Come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Messiah?" And so there are times the Holy Spirit will reveal things for a very specific purpose. Are you with me?
Yes, yes.
So, the Holy Spirit reveals. So, don't think it's strange when He reveals things to you. Number one. If He reveals something to you, don't think all of a sudden that now you're a prophet. Hello? Man, I'm going to share some things with you guys that if I was in another church, and I'm a guest, I wouldn't say these things. But I want you guys to be on a different level of understanding, okay? Because if there's one thing I can guarantee you, you're not going to get to heaven and have the Lord Jesus say to you, "Oh, you went to MGCC. Now I understand why you don't know nothing." No. No, you can't. If you said, "Well, Jesus, I went to first or second, whatever," and Jesus said, "Oh, I understand." No. You come here, you're going to know something. Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that's my job.
Amen.
All right? But I'm telling you, sometimes people get off, and it's real easy to get in the flesh. Did you know that?
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
I was in a church in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, many, many years ago. And we were having a time of praise and worship, and we're just praying. And the Holy Spirit dropped a word into my heart. I had no idea what it meant, and I didn't know who it applied to. You know what the word was? Funny, the way the Holy Spirit does things at times. Mastoid. Mastoid? What in the world is a mastoid? And so it just rose up on the inside of me, and so I got the pastor's attention. I said, "I don't know what this means or who it's for." I said, "But the Holy Spirit dropped a word in my heart. Mastoid." I didn't even know what a mastoid was. And the man standing behind me said, "That's for me." I was at the doctor today and he said, my mastoid gland doesn't work anymore. That's the gland that produces saliva. I said, well, it'll work after tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It'll work after tonight. And it did. But he had a problem with his gland. Now, how could I have known? I couldn't have known that. I didn't even know what a mastoid was until he told me. But when I said it, he said, I know who that's for. Are you with me? I know who that's for. Well, the Holy Spirit revealed that because he wanted that man's mastoid to work. So we have to understand he will reveal things at times because his nature and character is love. He wants to help and bless people. But in that same church that I was a part of, all of a sudden a man prophesied. I never will forget. He prophesied. It's the same church where that lady prophesied me as a teacher in her Bible school. A guy prophesied and he said, yay, says the Lord, if you'll listen to my prophet. I'm like, what? Prophet? Now listen, there are times when the Holy Spirit manifests himself and he flows through us, and there are times some of us rubs off. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. I like what I.V. Hilliard said. He said, I'm just a ghetto prophet. He said, I don't do all that yay, yay, and thus saith God. I just spit it out. You know, just spit it out. But you don't have to say yay. You don't have to say thus saith the Lord. You don't have to say the Lord told me to tell you. Just share it.
Yes.
Just share it. Amen. You know? It was like last week after service when towards the end there, Wilma had something on her heart that God gave her. Mm-hmm. Well, she shared it. And you can have revelation, you can know things, and it doesn't necessarily mean you are a prophet. Amen. Are you with me? It just means that you cooperated with the Holy Spirit that day.
Amen. Yep.
Okay? Now, watch. Let's go a little deeper. I'm going to show you something. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 7. We talked about a word of knowledge, a supernatural revelation of facts that exist in the mind of God that are either past or present. Jesus had a word of knowledge about Nathanael. He had a word of knowledge about the woman at the well. Now, let me show you what a word of wisdom is. Isaiah chapter 7. And I'm going to show you how specific the Holy Spirit is. Isaiah chapter 7. And we'll look at verse 14. Very familiar passage. Especially around the holidays, Christmas time, we share these. Isaiah 7, verse 14. And it says this, therefore the Lord himself shall show you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, this was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born.
Amen.
But the Holy Spirit revealed to Isaiah something about his future purpose and plan. Mm-hmm. The word of wisdom deals with the future. A word of knowledge deals with the present or the past. But a word of wisdom deals with the future. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, notice verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it, with judgment and with justice from henceforth and even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there again, the Holy Spirit is revealing something about future events with specific detail. With specific detail reveals God's future purpose and plan. Let me show you another example. Turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. The Bible is so full of revelation because God knows everything, not only the present, not only the past, but he knows your future better than you know your present circumstance. He is Almighty God. He is all-knowing. And there are times He will take a part of what He knows and reveal it to us. A word of wisdom deals with specifics in the future. Notice the 22nd Psalm. Notice what God revealed to the psalmist, again, hundreds of years before Jesus went to the cross. Notice verse 1, Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sound familiar? These are the words that Jesus uttered on the cross. Notice verses 6 and 7. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delights in him. Notice verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it melts in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you've brought me to the dust of death. Verse 16. For the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell or see all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. The Holy Spirit knew with specific detail exactly what would happen on the day when Jesus was crucified. He knew exactly what would happen and revealed it to the psalmist, and he wrote it down. And so we see with specific detail the Holy Spirit revealing what would happen on that day when Jesus died on that cross. The Holy Spirit is always very specific. He doesn't speak with vague generalities, but He's very, very specific. And so a word of knowledge is a revelation of facts that exist in the mind of God that have to do with the future, His purpose, and His plan. Years ago, when I was on staff at our church in St. Louis, and there again, I prophesy once in a while when the Holy Spirit led me to. But for the most part, you know, I'm the kind of guy, if I don't have anything to say, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. All right? And I didn't do it to impress people. But anyway, I used to teach the new members class like Brother Farabee does now. And so I was teaching the new members class one night, and the Spirit of God rose up within me, and I shared something with the people. And it was this. Now, this is an instance where I shared something that was to edify, to exhort, to comfort, but there was a little bit of revelation about the future with it. And I said this, what's to happen in the age to come? Will the life be manifested in the many or just in some? And then he said this, it'll be determined by obedience and steadfast love. It's not based on me moving, but what's done below, not above. Many will grow old in fullness of joy, but others will fall short, for they handle the things of God like a toy. Obedience or steadfastness is developed in obedience and love. So set your mind on heavenly things and keep your heart pure. Be sincere in your worship and you will endure. Now, I didn't want to say that during new members class. You got people sitting there looking at your eyes all bugged out. You know, what's to happen in the age to come? Will the life be manifested in the many or just in some? Well, that word was for somebody there that night. Are you with me? But it not only was simple prophecy, but there was a little bit of, here's what's going to happen in the future. But notice, it's not based on what God does. It's based on what you do on the earth.
Amen.
All right? So, obedience. And here's the other thing. There are times the Holy Spirit will reveal things, and it's not always, you know, God's going to take you to your next level, and your destiny's right around the corner, and blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were times the Holy Spirit revealed things, and it wasn't real pleasant. Are you with me? And so we need to understand that. We need to cooperate with that. Now, when somebody says something like that, it needs to be judged. Is that scriptural? Is that biblical? Or is somebody just shooting off at the lip? But if you'll take those words to heart, they'll help you. It'll edify you. It'll exhort you to be sincere in your relationship with God. Don't play with spiritual things. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to endure. I got a finish line to cross. All right, turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. We're talking about gifts that reveal things. Acts chapter 11. And I think we'll close with this one today. Y'all learning anything today?
Yes.
All right. Acts chapter 11. And we'll look at verse 27. Acts 11:27. There again, if you have it, say, I have it.
I have it.
Okay, let's begin reading with verse 27. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit. Now, the word signified is an old word that simply means he witnessed something. He bore witness by the Spirit. He signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth or famine throughout the land, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man, notice this, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt at Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, here is an instance where a prophet came down to Antioch and said by the Holy Spirit, there's coming a famine that's going to impact the entire world. Now, why did he say that? Because the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. Why did the Holy Spirit reveal it? Because he wanted to warn the church so that they could be prepared. So that they could be prepared. And so what they obviously did was they began to set aside stuff for this famine that did come to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. But I want you to notice something else that the church did. They decided to take up an offering and give. Notice they didn't start hoarding, but they started giving. There's a biblical principle there. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so during a time of famine, they wanted a harvest. And so they planted a seed. They decided to give for the brethren who dwelt at Judea. Now, in order for them to do this, it shows, number one, that they had faith in the word that the prophet gave. Number two, they were motivated by love. And they survived this famine that came to pass simply because of their obedience. There are times the Holy Spirit will reveal something because he wants to warn people to be ready. I don't know about you, but if there was a tsunami coming that was going to wipe out my house, it would be nice if the Holy Spirit would reveal it to me and say, you might want to go on vacation, go up to the mountains this afternoon. Oh, I don't feel like it, Lord. All right, stay there. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman.
Yes.
But there are times He'll reveal things to you for a purpose. Now, notice their response. It was not to hoard, but to give. Mm-hmm. Now, here's something I want you to see. Because it is popular in church culture now for people to tag themselves with labels or titles. I want you to understand this one thing. Prophet is not a title. Prophet is not a title. Prophet is a function. Prophet is a function. It's not a title. Did you get that?
Yes.
Prophet is not a title. It's a function. Pastor is not a title. It's a function. It is a ministry gift that God has placed in the body of Christ. Pastor's not who I am. Pastor's what I do. Prophet's not who you are. Prophet's what you do by the assistance of the Holy Spirit. We've got to get away from these titles and labels. I heard a man say many years ago, you can't go to many meetings anymore without hitting a prophet with a rock. If you threw a rock, you'd hit two or three prophets. And oh, people, I met a woman years ago. She introduced herself to me. Hi, I'm Evangelist so-and-so. Like Evangelist was her first name. No, I'm not knocking people. I love people. You want to be called Evangelist? I'll call you Evangelist. But you're an Evangelist if you do that.
Amen.
You're not an evangelist just because you call yourself that. And so prophet is not a title. Prophet is a function. These things operate as the Spirit wills, not as we will.
Amen.
Are you with
Amen.
Me? And a prophetess is not a female preacher. A prophetess has revelation. A prophet has revelation. And it doesn't mean you have revelation all the time.
All right.
The nature of the Holy Spirit is to reveal. My father-in-law, Elder Carr, Peggy's daddy, told me, he said, you know, the Lord began to use me and reveal things to me for a period of time consistently. And I would see things and know things about people. He said it got to the point they were afraid to ride in a car with me. Because they thought the Lord showed me everything. He didn't. He only showed me a little bit. But they were scared of him. Say, I'm not getting in a car with Elder Carr. He'll start reading my mail. Are you with me? You can't do that all the time. Now, he'll do it when it's needful. But other than that, you're just Clark Kent. You're not Superman all the time. Are you with me? And some people give you the impression that they can do this all the time. And, you know, yeah, I'm sorry, they can't. You know, they can't. Jesus couldn't. What makes you think you can?
All right, man. All right.
I can prove that to you. We'll get to that when we get into working of miracles and gifts of healings. So God has placed these gifts in the body of Christ that reveal something for a purpose. So the Holy Spirit can guide us, can lead us, can show us the way at times, so He can warn us about impending danger. All right? So these are things that happen as the Spirit wills. We need to understand how they operate so that we can cooperate with Him. And if you know the genuine, if you understand the person of the Holy Spirit, you can easily recognize something that's not.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Now, if you have friends, associates, loved ones, Christian brothers and sisters, and they refer to themselves as a title, that's fine. Don't be mean. Don't be disrespectful. You know, if they have prophet on their business card, don't call them tonight and say, prophet's not a title. It's a function. That's what my pastor said. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Leave them alone. Love them. Y'all with me? This is where we're at, man. Because who knows? They might be a prophet.
Amen.
But don't get hung up on the title.
Yes.
Because there are some people out there who call themselves prophets and they're not.
Amen.
And they're not. I got an email. I don't know why I'm going this way. Do I have time for this? I don't like to do this. I got an email from a guy. This is several years ago. And I won't call his name. Called himself prophet such and such. Mm-hmm. Sent me an email, and he was a big brother. He made Mr. Nixon look small. This brother's huge. And he had his arms down in this big vat of oil. I'm thinking, what? And he used the scripture Ezekiel 28:18. And he said, you know, I'm prophet so-and-so, and the Lord told me to anoint and bless this oil, according to Ezekiel 28:18. Now, if you'll send me $28.18, I will send you a vial of this anointed oil. He had his big old arms down in this oil. And if you'll get this little bottle of anointed, hey, folks, this is where we live. I won't ask for a show of hands. But anyway, if you'll send me $28.18, you can take this oil and it'll revolutionize your life. It'll change everything about your life. If you're sick, it'll make you well. If you're broke, it'll make you rich. If you're this, it'll, if you know. You know what'll revolutionize your life? When you do the Word. When you do the Word. See? And here's the problem. All too often, see, we live in a culture where you get stuff instant. I don't want to go to bank, go through the drive-thru. Cool, nothing wrong with that. I use the drive-thru several times a week. All right? I don't want to fix any food. I'm going to go through the drive-thru. Well, that's fine. Some people want drive-thru Christianity. Right. I don't want to do the Word. Just get me that bottle of oil. Shortcut. Shortcut. I'll send you $28.18. Man, that's a whole lot easier than spending time in here. I'll just send you the $28.18 and, you know, we'll just have the oil do its thing. You know what you did? You just wasted $28.18 and you set yourself back spiritually about 2-3 years.
Yes.
When if you would just do what the Lord has asked us to do, His grace, His blessing, His anointing is on His Word.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for the ministry of the prophet, the real prophet. But whenever their motive is money, be wary.
All right. All right.
Be wary. I always think of Elisha the prophet. When Naaman the leper was healed, he came back and said, "Man, I've got money, I've got clothes, I've got gifts." Elisha was cool. I like this guy. I'm going to meet him one day.
Amen.
So will you.
Amen.
And you know what Elisha said? Now's not the time to receive an offering. There is a time to receive an offering, but that wasn't it.
Amen.
He said, "Go your way, brother. Be blessed, be healed, be well."
Wow.
And Gehazi couldn't stand the fact that that money was leaving.
Amen.
And so he lied and chased that man down and lied to get that stuff. Thought nobody knew. Went back, put it in his apartment. Went down. Down there where Elisha the prophet was. And Elisha said, "Hey, Gehazi, man, where you been?" "Oh, nowhere, man. Just chilling." And Elisha said, "Didn't my spirit go with you when you joined yourself to that chariot?" He said, "Behold, the leprosy that Naaman was healed of will now cling to you." Elisha was sitting in his house minding his own business, and he had a little preview, like a little movie. He saw the whole thing. See? Gehazi's motive was what he could get. Elisha's motive was, "Lord, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And I'll do it with integrity. I'll do it with character. We'll display your power. But never let it be said we did this for money."
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
And so beware of prophets who prophesy for money. That's all I'm going to say. If their motive is money, odds are the Holy Spirit's not in it.
Hallelujah.
Now, prophets need money to do what they do. And there is a time for them to receive an offering. But beware of the ones who do it for money.
Amen.
There are some men who... I don't want to say this. There are some men who minister based on your ability to give to them. And they've had meetings where they said, "All right, I've got a word from the Lord for all the $10,000 givers." You know, at least they're going for the big money. And they get a line of folks with that $10,000 check in their hand. "And I got a word from the Lord for you." No, you don't. You might have a word, didn't come from the Lord. Amen? Hey, this stuff happens, folks.
Yes.
It happens. Then they go for the $5,000 givers.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're the small giver, you're on the tail end.
Yeah.
Well, we know the Holy Spirit's not involved in that.
Amen.
Remember when Jesus was with his disciples, standing at the temple, watching people give into the treasury, and a widow woman came and cast in all of her living, two mites. And Jesus grabbed his disciples, said, "Did you see that? Look, did you see that? Did you see that?" And they're like, "What?" He said, "She gave more than all of them. Because out of her need, she cast in all that she had." All the others gave out of their abundance. You know, it was no big deal for them to throw a lot in. But Jesus recognized a woman who gave it all.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
And so we have to be careful. The Holy Spirit's job is to lead us, guide us, show us the way. Just like a father leads his children, taking them by the hand, helping them navigate through difficult places. Now, as a parent, if you love your child, I'll tell you what I did when my son was 4 or 5 years old and he had to start school. I taught him how to cross the street. Because he had to cross a 4-lane street that was pretty busy and a lot of times people were speeding. I didn't want my son to get hit by a car and hurt. And so I taught him how to cross the street. I took him by the hand. I pushed the button. I showed him the lights. I showed him how to look both ways. I said, "Now it's safe to cross." Holy Spirit does the same thing with you. He'll take you by the hand, lead you and guide you. But if you don't want to be bothered, He'll leave you alone. He'll leave you alone. He'll reveal things to you. Not just so you can be puffed up, but He wants you to do something. Maybe He's trying to warn you. Amen. All right, I've taught long enough. That's it.
Amen.
Let's stand. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.